I'm talking to a legendary and creative musical genius who has won numerous awards, including a Grammy, Dove, MTV Music Awards, NAACP Image Awards, to name a few. And he and his group were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a true icon and trailblazer, the master of funk himself, Mr. George Clinton.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. So you're back in New York as one of the stops on your final tour with the Parliament Funkadelics. This is the One Nation Under Groove Tour, capping over 50 years of touring and recording. Can you believe it's been 50 years?
It seemed like day for yesterday. We started here in this area, you know, raised in New Jersey, Newark. And I listened to Wynn growing up, going to school and going back and forth to New York to the Apollo Theater. So it was really wonderful to hear that they wanted to do an interview. I was glad to do this.
We have a tear in our eye and maybe a tear in both eyes. Why and when did you decide to make this your final tour with P-Funk?
About 2 years ago, we put out our album, Shake the Gate, and then Medicaid Fraud Dog on Parliament and Funkadelic, and I got the band in shape, and they're in shape now for the last 2 years. They've been carrying it. I've been directing the band and you know, setting them up so I could do movies and cartoons and animations and music for that, and I'll still be producing the band. But I planned it about 3 years ago, actually, when the book came out.
And I heard something about a hologram.
Oh, no, they're going to still be, the band itself is going to still be there. But they'll probably do that, you know, some gigs. They probably have some holograms, and I'll probably sneak back in here and there. All of those things are in the future, but the band itself is very capable of doing it right now, you know, for real.
So the legacy continues.
The legacy, I got 6-7 grandkids in the band, a son, a daughter. And in the business part of it, a bunch of offsprings and grandkids and great grandkids running the whole thing. So it's been going pretty good for the last 3 to 4 years.
That's some legacy, George. That's some legacy. So what does life look like now that you've decided to retire? What's the next day going to look like?
Well, I'll be like I say, after I finish getting a little fishing in, I'll be recording them, producing records on them, and in my continued fight for the copyright issues, you know, for the estate of the family, I'm still trying to get that as the legacy that I want, that we got our copyrights and all of that music over the years straightened out for us and all the other families that is catching hell trying to get their estate together, getting their music, you know, from the legacy of the different artists. I want that to be what people have known, that we really, after making all that music, we were able to get it, keep it.
And you know what? I'm going to try to say this because the memoir that you wrote, and you said, let me get the flair right. Brother B.O., like George, ain't the fucking kind of hard on you.
You got it right. You know, most people can't get that flow.
You got to get it right, George, now.
You got to get it right, because the person that I got them from, he wants them to be just like that. Yo, George.
And it tells you, it talks about, you know, you wanting what the things that happened in your career, and you are dead fighting for your copyrights and intellectual property.
That's what it is. You know, I mean, that belongs to your estate. That belongs to your family. And like I said, we have all the family out there, all the different generations of the family out there, the half-brothers and sisters and all of that. You know, the whole family is out there, you know, traveling on the road together. And we're fighting for those copyrights. That's what gives me energy and inspiration to make new songs. You know, it's like the 60s when you're fighting to get rid of the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. Now you're fighting to get rid of all these predators in the industry now that's trying to take these people's inheritance and things. They've been well-versed in that. They went to school to know how to cause trouble between the different people involved in it. So you have a real uphill battle, but with inspiration, I can write new songs about it.
Wow. And as you're talking about that, you know, you have such a legacy in this business. How have you taken what you have done and have it transcend through the decades? Because you've done it your way, but people are sampling you like crazy.
Well, funk is like that. Funk is that P. It's like when we started the concept, they say that's dope music. That's dope. Funk has always been that, like that, you know, whether it was in the blues or in the rock and roll or in gospel, because it's in all of that. It's in jazz. That survived even when the name of the genre changed. They have to have that funk in it if they want to shake some booty. You know, and that's the main thing. I mean, they shout in church.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a joyful noise is what we call it.
Get a joyful noise.
A joyful noise.
And we shaking in church now, George. You know we shaking in church. We ain't quiet.
You know they be shaking and they having a joyful noise.
That's right. And yeah. It's all down to the funk. It's the funk in a different venue.
It's the funk. They call it the what they call it, the force in Star Wars. It's that same energy.
Yeah, and as again, as I look over your career, let's reflect a little bit. What has been your biggest achievement and the biggest highlight, and what has been your biggest regret?
Well, basically, the biggest achievement, I think, is being able to transfer it from one generation to the next, and from one nationality or part of the planet to the next. I think being able to appeal to all of those different people and ages and styles has been very good to us, you know, because that's the hardest thing. Once you get old, you're old and you're out of here. But we relate to the kids, you know, whatever they come up with that sounds stupid, because mainly the music that get on your nerves is basically the new music, is the next music. So I kind of fell into that a long time ago. Let the kids, you know, kind of direct you. You can feel when there's a Cardi B on the rise and everybody want to diss it, and all of a sudden it becomes the main thing that you're listening to. It happens like that all the time. The new music always will get on old folks' nerves.
In every generation.
Every generation. My mother said, pow, 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 pow. What are y'all talking about? That was in the 50s. And I thought about that in the 80s when they were talking about I was tempted to say what, and then I remember what she said. You know, what are y'all, you supposed to get on old folks' nerves.
But the thing you have said is you have to know the tempo of the time and get in step.
You do. You have to, if you think you're all of that because you done learned a lot and you want to grad, but you know, realize you ain't going to dance too much either. You ain't going to go out and buy the records too much either. That's why we call them teeny boppers. Right. They were the ones that gave you the energy in the first place. So you have to recognize that when it's happening and get back in step. Don't be talking about, well, they ain't doing nothing. That ain't music. Oh, everybody done said that.
People that are, say, why are you sampling my music? Why are you taking, but your music is going to another generation.
It's going to another generation. We played the same R&B chords for 50 years. And it was pretty much the same thing. Pretty much sampling. But just you did it with different instruments and named it a different song. But they were pretty much the same. So when sampling came along, I had already did a record called Clones of Dr. Funkenstein, where you clone stuff with a little piece of a sample, a little piece of tissue, you clone a new. That's the concept of this day and age. They can do those Snapchats and clone stuff, make little new movies out of them, real quickies. That's the way they make music now.
That's
they'll
it.
Eventually go back to instruments or some new instruments as we get into the future. Computers making the music. All of that in our future. So when I see it coming, I'll be like, oh, this is what Star Trek was talking about.
The future. But you had the mothership.
Yeah. I mean, I had a spaceship for a while. So I pretty much, I've had dealt with computers and stuff like that.
You go from analog to digital. You just know how to work
digital to analog. I mean, like right now, you know, you got a lot of, say, the marijuana laws is changing real quick now. They done went from digital, from analog to digital on that. You're smoking weed. Now you're smoking a pen. You're in the new, you're in the new future now. Pretty soon you'll program yourself a hit and you won't even have to smoke nothing. I mean, I think it's funny, but it's also good to, you know, to kick it with, you know, those kind of thoughts. And that's what we've been doing for a long time, having fun, making music, making joyful noise.
And you know, when you talked about, you know, going back, because, you know, though you were born in North Carolina, you know, we claim you as, you know, growing up in New Jersey. And how did that have an impact on you? Because, you know, you did the doo-wop thing inspired by Frankie. I mean, and then the teenagers. And, you know, how did that inspire you being in New Jersey?
Well, you know, coming out of North Carolina, all I heard was country and western, you know, and blues, which my mother was into, Louis Jordan and, you know, all of the big bands from the 40s. So I already knew that. But as soon as I got to New Jersey, rock and roll had just beginning to turn, you know, come alive, you know, the rock around the clock and all of that doo-wop stuff on the ballad side from R&B groups. That was brand new to me. And I had family that lived in Passaic, New Jersey, where the Shirelles lived. And I just let them rehearse their songs right in these apartments right to my cousin's house. So I was right around as one of the records that I heard somebody rehearsing. You know, you'll love, do she love you tomorrow, or something like that, one of those songs. Carole King, I was telling her about that. So I grew up as rock and roll was becoming, you know, of age. And when Frank and Lyman hit, it was all over.
Yeah.
I was going to be a part of that, you know, which a lot of New Jersey and New York City, Brooklyn, all of that. Everybody had a doo-wop group in their junior high school. We started in grade school.
Grade school?
Grade school. I was in the sixth grade.
Wow. So you went from there to creating your own sound.
Oh, yeah. We went through all that by way of, you know, New York City, the Brill Building, this and all that rock and roll. Then Motown coming out, I was swept with Smokey Robinson. It was over. So we became part of that Motown era. And when they moved out of Detroit, they left us there. We had to make up our own Motown.
You had to make up your own Motown.
So we just went the opposite direction. They was sophisticated, slick, and with all of that, but at the same time, Rolling Stones, Beatles, all them was coming over from Europe with their invasion of, you know, of the rock and roll. They was wearing jeans and t-shirts with holes in them. So we say, oh, cool, funk is going to be the next thing, huh?
That's right.
We know how to act. We know how to act poor.
You've been wearing that for a long time.
We've been doing that a long time.
It just became fashionable.
We went straight to the diaper, a diaper and a sheet.
I remember. You
know, we were just clowning it because we were in a barbershop. We made people cool. We knew also how to dress slick and everything because that was what we did in the barbershop. We did people hair who was cool. But that wasn't happening no more. All of a sudden, that was out the window, and hippies was the new main thing around the world.
One thing I admire too about you is that, you know, you didn't want to be the one hit wonder. You really did create albums. I mean, you could go 7, 10, 15 minutes with a song now.
We wasn't trying to do 45. We never did. We realized after our first hit record, I want to testify how hard it is to keep getting a hit record. You know, that limits your artistic ability if that's what you got to do. But at the same time, they had something called Underground, which was the group that made long songs and songs about different kind of topics, you know, either jazz or gospel or rock and roll. That was the FM station. It wasn't it wasn't what it is now. It was the Underground station. And so we made songs like Maggot Brain, you know, that you could play forever. It was the art in it. It was a weird record at the moment for if you were trying to get on the radio, but the station that played it for a long time, still play it.
And as you're looking into this generation, who do you see that doing that, is following that kind of trail like you?
I mean, you're going to find that Kendrick Lamar, Flying Lotus, those, they're like on the very, on the edge of jazz and rap, you know, and gospel and all of that. But they're like, you will remember those. You will remember Public Enemy. You will remember Rakim. You will definitely remember Eminem. You know, they've been around a long time, but the records they put out sustain past, you know, the new act that come along doing it. They still is somebody you have to deal with because they laid it down like that. And that, like I said, you will find the Drake and what they're doing now, Cardi B, real right now. That stuff, it seems like the top 40 right now, but it's got some substance to it.
Right.
And it's the new way they talk. We might not understand the conversation, but they all seem to agree on the lyrics of the conversation.
There you go. And we're winding this down, but I got to say that, you know, a great honor that the mothership landed at the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. It's the 1,200-pound aluminum stage prop that once stole the shows at your concert. What was it like getting that phone call that they wanted that, and what will it speak to future generations?
It was appreciated and really thankful that they did, because I had it in the studio. And with nothing to do, it looked so good. It was still lit up. And, you know, I didn't know what to do with it. But when, matter of fact, I was getting ready to give it to another museum to hold. And then when they called, I was so glad of that. That, you know, that it looked so good in there. I went to see it. You know, when I tried to store it in, you know, different storage places, I found out they would take it out on the weekend and have an audience, charge audience to come and see it. Go up and down.
What?
I can never store it any place without people actually putting it up and selling tickets to come and look at it. So I'm glad it's in the Smithsonian.
It actually anchors that musical Crossroads exhibition. So what an honor! And as you're,
it really is. I mean, up there next to Chuck Berry's Cadillac.
You're in good company.
In good company.
And as your, this is your final tour. What can we expect on this tour, and who are the others that are joining you?
Well, you got Fishbone, Galactica, ourselves. Who else is on that? Miss Blue Wolf. You got to see them. They've been on tour with us for about 2 years now. They're phenomenal. And it's Dumpster Funk.
Oh, we got, I'm going to see classic George Clinton and P-Funk.
Oh, yeah, we're home. This is going to be fun up in there. I mean, it's going to be crazy. All the folks we've known over the years, the folks I ain't heard from in 30 years is calling me now. So it's going to be really wild. And this whole tour is that way because a lot of our friends from other bands join us. A lot of members that has been in the band before, they join us here and there. So it's, this is going to be a hell of a tour.
It's so much fun speaking to you. We're going to miss seeing you on that day-to-day kind of thing. I'm going to ask one favor. Can you just sing a little One Nation with me? Because I want to sing with George Clinton now. Like One Nation.
One nation
under a groove.
Getting down just
for the funk of it. One nation.
And we're on the move. Nothing can stop us now. Thank you. Thanks a lot.